Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Soul Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Crystal Hill, Soul Leadership Mentor, Embodiment Coach, and founder of Crystal Hill Publishing, where we give conscious leaders a platform to elevate their businesses to the next level, increase their impact and influence, to awaken and empower humanity into deeper levels of sovereignty and connection. Hello and welcome everyone to another conversation with the authors of Fearless Presence. And today I'm just so excited to have with me Leola Antara and Rachel Rose, who are both walked the path of the priestess, the path of Tantra, both had tantric awakenings and are working with this incredible energy.
Well, it was actually meeting a soulmate beloved. I mean, I was already, I think, you know, when they say, you know, my first little mini Kundalini awakening was at a Vipassana in Thailand, I was 18 years old. And that was that first little spark where I was like, where I had that first little ecstatic tingle of energy that ran through me and sort of started to woke me up, started to, you know, stir that thirst for more. And then it took a few years. And when I was 23, which is 33 years ago, I had my first soulmate relationship. I had my first, and the first time we made love, my Kundalini, you know, rushed through my crown chakra. And in that moment, you know, they say that when the Kundalini activates, the codes come online, the old soul codes start to come online, the old, all the initiations that we've ever experienced through any, all of our lifetimes, you know, start to be activated and start to be remembered. So for me, you know, it was that stirring to want to support others to activate this Kundalini energy, because it felt to me like this was the key for spiritual awakening. It's like we could read books and we could get knowledge and we could be guided around the path of love and how to live a more integrous lifestyle. But yet when you activate this inner intelligence that is this guiding force, you become your own inner teacher. And that was always what was shown to me. Even though I did seek gurus, I did seek teachers outside of me, my higher self was always guiding me back home. And, you know, this was challenging, back home to, you know, this inner wisdom of Shakti, what I came to know as the divine feminine, you know, life force within me. So this was how it began. And then, you know, from being with my beloved in making love, starting to activate past lives, starting to remember past lives together. And those past lives were, you know, sharing with me all the lifetimes that I've had, you know, as the priestess in the temples. And sacred sexuality seemed to me like this was the key for activating and awakening humanity, and to do that inside of a beloved relationship. So I was inside of a beloved relationship that was a very pure love relationship for 7 years, and that held me to remember, you know. And for me, because I was in a monogamous tantric beloved union, the path of how to share that, you know, sometimes I would think about sharing that through body work or with other men, but because I was in a relationship, it didn't feel right. So I began this dance practice called Kundalini Dance, which was teaching people how to activate that energy in their own sovereignty, which feels very important. And those two words, those big two loaded words, you know, have so much meaning. And what that means to come into a balance between your sensuality and your softness and your creativity and your willingness to serve and to be on mission and to pulse in that higher consciousness frequency. So yeah, that's kind of how it began. And it was a bit crash and burn. And it was because, you know, there was not really many other guides for me at that time. And as I we shared just now in our conversation, it was like, so I had to be this warrior priestess, you know, I had to be like, this is my path, and no, that's not my way, and no, that's not my way, I've got my own way. And that was intense back then when everyone else was seeking and looking, and I was like, no, my guidance is to look within, not to read anything, but to look within. The codes are within me, the teachings are within me. And that could be perceived as arrogant, you know, that could be perceived as like, you know, who does she think she is? And I had to get this. And so I had a little bit of this warrior heart exterior at first, and I felt like I really had to hold up a lot of guarding. And there was, you know, the path of the priestess is an ancient path, and there are, you know, there are these wounds that we carry that need healing. So yeah, I moved out of that beloved relationship and went through a decade of just, you know, being, working with women, being on the priestess path, and that felt very important. But now it's changing again, and it feels very important to include the masculine and work with the masculine, because I feel that that is how we're going to be really truly birthing the new earth, is in these balanced relationships with the masculine. So it's come around again, and it's time again.
Yeah, I really resonate with what you're sharing around the sovereignty, and that the keys are within. And as somebody who has most of my life looked outside of myself and gotten lost in the outside and sucked into other people's realities, it's only been in the last year, really, truly. And I think there's layers to that, you know, that we really come to listening within, pausing, being in that silence so that we can hear the wisdom of our wombs and our bodies. And yeah, that sovereign union within self then facilitates taking that back out into the world, which, you know, which is what you so beautifully described in your journey. Firstly, working with the women to bringing the women back into their sovereignty. And then once they're there, it can become expanded again. So we can bring the masculine in and we can create that outer union.
Yes. Yes.
Thank Rachel, you. I would love to hear. So you've been on the tantric path for many years yourself. You've been working one-on-one with lots of different clients, and you've had your own tantric awakening, and it came in quite an unexpected way. So I'm wondering if you can just share that experience, the feeling of what that was like for you when you, having experienced, you know, other relationships and unconscious relationships, to then coming in contact with a really conscious encounter that is really present. How was that for you? And what has your journey been this far?
Well, so when I think about how many years I've been teaching Tantra or conscious sexuality, I would say close to 15 now. So my pathway to Tantra actually started in the sex industry. And it's come along, it's been a long journey to be able to speak like so liberately and so free about this. But I do feel like writing this story in Fearless Presence has just opened up so much for me, and realizing how potent that journey is and actually how important it is to share as well, and to finally release my guilt and shame around it. So I would say, literally about 15 years ago is when I first started working in the industry. And I was reflecting on the other day about, at the time, that's what freedom looked like to me, which was like, as a young woman coming to Sydney from a small country town, next minute feeling like I had all the money in the world, all the free time in the world, and the things that I guess I valued back then that were important to me. Yeah, it felt very exciting, and it felt like freedom, and ultimately like I had everything that I could desire. And obviously over time it finally catches up, and there's a lot of drugs, a lot of partying, a lot of unconscious behavior with sexuality and sexual energy. And at the time I didn't quite understand what was going on for me, but I did have a lot of anxiety and I felt lost. But I also felt that there was no real way out or way back to the real world as well, because it at that point, it was what I knew, I guess, of the adult world, like outside of high school. So I would say that I hit a very low point in my life and I couldn't really see where my future was going. And I was very lucky to be working one evening where I had a man come in and he had actually learnt some Tantra and offered me, I guess, the experience of it. So not even a sexual service, but to have somebody sit down with me and, you know, show me eye gazing and show me how to breathe and show me how to connect and show me like a really powerful sacred spiritual experience in somewhere that is a very disconnected place. And I've always known and felt that I wouldn't be the Tantra teacher I am today or understand sexuality or the importance of it as much as I do if I hadn't had that experience leading up to it. And if I hadn't had that experience in such a setting as well, where I was feeling like I really didn't want to be there. And yeah, it really, that moment kind of set me on the path. And it's amazing how up until that point, it felt like I felt like I was lost and I had no direction and life was working against me. And yeah, it was so beautiful to just have that moment in time and have him disappear. And I never saw or heard from him again. But that was because not too long after that, it's kind of like love just started falling into place. And I moved away from there and I did my Tantra training for a week. And for me at that time, it was like I had no idea that everything was within ourselves. Like, and in terms of like feeling like so high on life and love, it was like, wow, we don't even need substances for this. And this is what I knew of what high, like getting high was, which was, you know, like taking something to make me feel like that. And to have my eyes opened in that sense, I was like, whoa. It was really, really powerful. But it was also a journey as well with Tantra and I guess unraveling all those stories of who I am and like what I was in the world. And actually through teaching Tantra is also where I did a lot of my healing as well and a lot of letting go. And I feel like so many of my students have been my teachers in a sense. And I feel like even now it just keeps unraveling for me. And yeah, I feel so lucky to live the life that I do. And yeah, so blessed, I guess, like coming from where I've come from and to be able to do what I do now. And really like honor that journey as well and not, I guess, feel the shame around it. And yeah, I guess the work keeps expanding more and more on bigger scales as well. I've always been very comfortable doing one-on-one sessions. And then from that place, it's like opened up more and I've been doing workshops and temples and yeah, just really believing in the cause as well and like the power of like sexual healing in a sense when it's done in a really conscious way, because we all know how powerful sexual energy is, and understanding that and really respecting it and nurturing it as well as you would a plant or a child or anything the same way. And when we do that, it's just such magic. And for me, to be the Tantra teacher I am, I started realizing very quickly that all those aspects of me that were unconscious in terms of the way that I lived my life, they had to fall away for me to be that. And yeah, that's what I guess I really understand about Tantra, to ultimately be in that space of like oneness and connection and one with spirit, which we hear people talk about. It's like life has to be in alignment. And yeah, I feel really grateful that Tantra came along for me and basically put my life in alignment as well. Mm-hmm. So I could be that and I can pass that on as well. Yeah, so that's my journey.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And I do feel that it would be great to just presence or touch upon what is that sexual energy? Why is that so important? For because I can imagine that many people may not, who are listening, may not have heard what Tantra is and may still feel a lot of shame around their sexual energy. So Leola, I wonder if you can speak to that a little bit, and then also leading into how we heal the priestess wound with our sexual energy through that kundalini, through that life force energy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. question. It's ecstatically lighting up my womb to be asked to transmit this. And, you know, that right there, if you could imagine your sexual energy feeling like an ecstatic current that floods your whole body and stands your hairs on end and gives you tingles all over and lights up your heart. And when we really honor, you know, sexual energy as a river, it's a current of energy, and you can just keep it generating in the genitals and, you know, giving you orgasms through your clitoris or your, you know, you're coming in the lower area of your genitals. But what we do through tantric practice is we actually open up the pathway, the energy pathway, so that the energy can start to rise. We have like a central column, like a pillar, and in many traditions, some in Indian, it's called the Sushumna channel. In many of the traditions, like the Taoists call it the inner flute or the inner bamboo. And if you can imagine, the Egyptians call it the Jed. So if you can imagine, we have this pillar of light within us. And when we learn how to breathe this energy, and you can just even now just mark that pathway of your body as you're listening to me, as you're feeling what that could be right now, this beautiful river of energy that moves up from your sexual organs, from your womb space, you begin to feel how that could just pass up through into your third eye and begin to light up your brain, begin to light up your pineal gland, pituitary gland, the back of your brain, then flood down the back of your body again and become like a circle within you. And as the sexual energy rises, what occurs? I mean, that's one transmission, it going up through the third eye in the back. Another transmission is it just rises right up to meet with the divine masculine. It's like this, when we talked about sovereignty and inner union, this is the first step of Tantra, to experience how this sexual energy, which is actually the feminine, is longing for union with the masculine, with the solar, with the consciousness. And we can bring that energy back in. And when these two meet within us, what occurs is this ecstatic explosion that starts to awaken, you know, consciousness. So we you know, it's such a big, like we have a couple of minutes, but it's such a big transmission. But the key is when you start connecting to your sexuality with a longing to become one with God, Goddess, Prime Creator, when your sexual exploration becomes a quest for spiritual awakening, and when you start to honor your sexual energy as a inherent evolutionary current, not just evolution to make babies and keep the species going, but an evolutionary current, which is actually a luminous river of love that can travel through your energy system. And what it starts to do in its longing for union with God, it starts to unlock these knots of tension that cause these fears and these, what we call the demons of fear and the demons of self-doubt and the demons that get you trapped in this illusion that you're separate and that you have to protect and that you have to keep people out and that whatever it is, the complexity of the human psyche, the ego mind. And what it begins to do is dissolve that ego mind, dissolve those knots, physical knot, energetic knots that get locked, that lock you in fear patterns. And so the sexual energy will begin to feel to dislodge that, those blocks, and then slowly your inner channel begins to become clearer and clearer and lighter and lighter, and begin to activate what we call the rainbow light body. Begin to activate this exquisite luminescence within you and awaken to the higher consciousness and move into the consciousness that is beyond fear, that is love. So it is ultimately a path of love, the way of living love, and recognizing that we have both fear and love and embracing that. So yeah, that's what I would say. And the path of to link that into the path of the priestess is just that, our sexual energy, as I said earlier, when my kundalini awoke, all my gifts of all my incarnations, of all my souls, all the initiations I'd ever experienced started to come online. And this is a real key for us to remember, that our soul gifts come online. So when we start to channel the sexual energy, to rise it up through the chakras and channel it and circulate it, because the snake has to eat its tail. This is a really important key with kundalini. You don't want to just be up and out, and get, it's got to come back down and circulate around, and whether it's up this way or around that way, depending on whatever system and how you calibrate it. But the path of the feminine, we take it up through the front of the body, back around the back. And that's all, what we explore. So basically, over the past 30 years, I've developed a healing system, a tantric healing system, an alchemical tantric healing system, where we work very specifically with the blocks and the knots, as we learn how to self-cultivate the sexual energy through womb practice and breath practice and prayer and devotion to God, Goddess. And in our sovereign practice, it's like preparing the vessel and clearing the vessel so that we can embody the divine oneness. And I'm aware that I just need to keep this very succinct. But what we do is we start to really offer the energy of the sexual energy, when we really actually bow to her as her own intelligence, which is the goddess. Kundalini is actually another word for Shakti, the divine feminine, the goddess. She is the mother. I came to know something I read in the Agora Tantras in India, is like the best relationship to have with Kundalini is to know her as the divine mother. And that in itself is what has truly transformed, humbled me. Because when I honor that sexual energy as the divine mother, it's like, and then knowing that the mother just wants me to be my best, to no longer give into those limitations of my consciousness and to surrender them over to love. And so we take the space to allow the energy, and what starts to occur is the unraveling of all the ways we hold ourselves back from bringing our gifts forward in life. So this is where what I call the sacred work, or the work of the priestess, or the work that of your soul, where you are. We're not trained in our culture to authentically express the gifts of our soul. We're trained to be a good little, slave for the matrix. And so the path of sovereignty is the path of returning to standing for and remembering the promise of your soul. And this is true to me. What I see as Tantra is inner union, becoming a vessel for God, Goddess. And through that, then remembering who you are and what you're here for. Mm-hmm. And then choosing to be fearless enough to live and walk that path. And that means often the old wounds, what I call the priestess wounds, the fears of persecution. For we have been persecuted for lifetimes for really, following our true wisdom and true knowing. And like we said earlier, we think that we've got, someone else has got the answers and someone else can guide us. But ultimately, when we start to activate tantrically, when we start to remember this alchemical ancient teaching, which was the core of all the mystery schools, path of sacred inner union is the core of all the mystery school tantras. It's the highest alchemical initiation. And this is what I teach. And this is what I bring people through. And that is, you know, it is it's a burning of the ego. It's a burning of the cloaks and the veils of illusion. And this is true tantra to me. We come into the relationship with the beloved, and we can bring that into the relationship with the beloved. What occurs is it's nothing less than like a spiritual transfiguration of all of the cultural conditionings and the ancestral patternings that you've taken on that are not part of your soul. And this is where the work is, and this is what we do, and this is why it can take a couple of decades. True, quite honestly.
We have been, you know, going through this for lifetimes, thousands and thousands of years, and our soul or our cellular memories have, you know, layer upon layer has been conditioned, and there's another fear, and that fear is then reinforced by another fear in another life. So of course it can take, and this is the life, right, where we're unraveling everything, all of it. And
goddess, this is the life.
Yes,
it is. And you know, I feel this is my last lifetime. I don't know if you have that feeling as well, or if you've come across that, and it feels like it could potentially be that. And it's definitely a life to break through the patterns.
It is, absolutely.
And that's why these keys are coming to us now. So we just really want to invite you all to jump on board with us on this amazing evolutionary ride that we're on. And these tantric alchemical keys are, it's the true way of embodiment, you know.
It's
crash and burn, and it's not for the faint and heart of heart, you know, for sure not. So unless you're ready to die to your ego, don't even start. Just, you know, keep doing whatever you want to, you know, keep doing. But if you're ready to move beyond the ego, and then I feel this sacred inner union is definitely the way.
Thank you for that beautiful transmission, Leola. That was, yeah, so many nuggets of wisdom in there. You can just create so many little quotes and things. And if we had more time, we could dive into a lot more. But Rachel, I want to hear from you. You also mentioned sovereignty as a really important pathway, and self-pleasure being one of the foundational pieces, really, to coming into the sacred union that Leola is talking about. So maybe you can just share a little bit around your experience and your teachings in that. And also you mentioned that, you know, it is a practice. And if we, just like meditation, but I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, and everyone's got to start somewhere, right? And I feel like for some people it's like tantra can seem so confusing, or maybe it's something that they might try maybe once or twice and it doesn't quite resonate. And I would say that was in a sense very true for me when I first started getting into practice. But for me it was something that I saw no other way of how I could be in the world. So it did take considering where I was at in life, exactly what Leola was speaking to, like, death of the ego, right? And in the sense that what I really struggled with was that piece around like self-love and feeling like deserving, and almost in a sense I feel like self-pleasure as a practice is like letting love come into you and letting the universe pour into you and your body. And it's such a great teacher in the sense that it really requires you to take time to drop in, and it's not like quick energy release kind of thing, which I would say was true for me and is true for a lot of people, is how I used to view self-pleasure. But really, like, learning to be with yourself and your touch and your breath, and you know, when you connect deeply in this way, it's like things come up and things move through you and you feel things deeply. And you know, one moment you can be crying, next moment you can be angry, next moment you can be laughing with joy and feeling like ecstatic pleasure. And it's it's really learning to be with all of it and allowing that. And you know, one thing I've learned, you know, through my own experience and what I see in others as well, is that when we numb off from, you know, sadness, it's like we numb off from joy, and same with numbing out from anger, it's like you're numbing out from passion. And so it's like self-pleasure, I feel like anything to do with tantra, really, like it allows you to feel, well, you've got no choice but to feel, right? And it's to feel like all of it as well. And really acknowledging that, and same, like learning a new dance, you got to learn the steps, right? And it's like, I feel like with each and every single tantra practice, you know, you might do something at a workshop, a tantric practice there, and there's like lots of other people in the room and maybe like a stranger's in front of you when you do the process, and it's like maybe, oh, I didn't really feel much because there's a lot going on around me, you know? But it's like go home and do the practices, and that's what I always say to my clients too. It's like they might be meeting me for the first time and they don't know me and they might feel comfortable, but in a sense, the body still takes time to trust, right? Like everything does. And it's like, I show people tantra practices and it's like, go home and do these practices consistently and watch them get deeper and deeper and deeper. Because I don't feel like it's one of those things for a lot of people that you can tell straight away in the moment, the power of it. And it's like some tantra practices are so simple, you know, but those ones are so powerful that it's like, it requires like that dedication to drop in and allow that unfolding, and comes down to patience too, right?
The culture of quick fixes and fast food, this is bringing us back into a more ancient way where, yeah, the stillness and the power of the pause and the subtle nuances that we can bring in will allow us to, it will open up deep worlds, new worlds. So yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Practice and persistence from this beautiful self-loving place are really, really important.
Mm. Yeah, exactly right. I guess exactly what you just said, Crystal, around, tantra is certainly not the fast food of sex. I feel like it's quite the opposite. It's like the whole food of sex, you know, literally like all of it. And it really just does start with like having that relationship to yourself and your own body before you can even step into another tantric relationship with someone else. It's like really know thyself on all levels and feel that, I guess exactly what Layla was speaking to, that flow within yourself to like embody that. And you can show others the way. It's like you don't even, you know, what I'm really big on, I guess from learning tantra the way that I did, it's not necessarily like you need to meet a tantric partner to experience tantra. It's like go on that journey together. Like, and rise up together in that sense. I don't feel like it's something that needs to be, you need to wait for. It's like if you know it and you feel it, it's like it's such a beautiful gift to like share with the world and, you know, everybody else as well. So yeah, that's what I've been like just super passionate about, like with my clients. It's like I don't care where they've come from or what starting point they're at. It's like this is where we see the shift, right? It's like just everyone starts from somewhere.
Thank you. I want to switch gears now and talk about fearless presence. And you've referenced it already, Leola, in how you were speaking about when we are in our sovereignty and we need to stand in our fearless truth and our fearless presence. So I'd love to hear how the writing process of your chapter, how was that for you? I know it's an incredible transmission that you're imparting, and I'd love to hear, having written before, what was that process for like for you?
Yeah, I loved it. It actually came through really quickly. And I loved that about the first draft, you know, it just really moved through me, and just feeling for me, it was a remembrance of when when I received the call, you know, the call of my soul to follow the mission and to remember the promise of my soul. And so it was a going back to 33 years ago in the desert, and it was a whole journey that I was on. So that felt really beautiful to reflect in the past, and then to, you know, just see the way I was challenged through my journey as a teacher and a guide on, you know, with all the fears that arose for me, and how I the tools and the keys that I actually used to get me through, and how that goes. And you know, it's an ongoing journey, right? You continue to get more courage. But I found writing definitely, the strengthening of my story was a beautiful process. And you know, just like this conversation, it just feels such a beautiful thing to be coming together with you, Crystal. I really appreciate you bringing us all together and meeting you, Rachel, and just feeling us on the same path, holding this light and bringing our voice together as one voice. That was like a really beautiful process, and I'm really grateful for that. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And Rachel, how was that process for you, the process of writing your story down and writing your chapter?
Well, I didn't like it at the start, you know, because it felt really challenging, and it felt impossible to write, like, I guess, a story that kind of like I would beat around the bush and not necessarily share my true path. And I did try. But it's like nothing was coming and nothing was flowing, and I was like, well, the truth shall set you free, right? Yes, that was a strain at the start. Like, it was just super healing as well to come into that space of there's a lot of power in it as well, and it really makes it worth something, I guess, if I can speak about it from this point of view as well. So surprisingly super healing, super challenging, but I guess that's the tantra for you, right? And yeah, so, but yeah, really enjoyable. I really actually would recommend to anybody, like, doing this process of just what, in whatever way possible, like just writing down your life story, because, oh man, there was so much that I'd forgotten, you know, and it brought up, I was like, wow, this isn't this, and just like putting all the pieces together as well. It's like, and seeing the bigger picture and the purpose of everything. So really powerful journey. And thank you, Crystal, for this opportunity to do this, because it just, it means a lot.
Absolutely. And I feel like, you know, when we are bringing the pieces together, when we are really reflecting on our life, and come from it from that reflective way, then our story can create a transformation for somebody else's journey. It can activate something in them, because we all deal with these universal themes in our own unique ways, but they are universal. And so when I read your story, I see myself and my own story suddenly from a different perspective. And so that is the power of transformation, and that is the power of reading these stories. So I feel like if anybody listening hasn't bought their copy of Fearless Presence, I really encourage you to do so, because the transmissions that are coming from the pages are really powerful to bring us into the sovereignty that we've been speaking about, and into our own fearless presence, to have that self-referential place from which we live. So I want to thank both of you for hearing the call and for answering it and for sharing your wisdom in this book. And also, of course, if people have been inspired by wanting to come more deeply into your worlds and learning the path of Tantra for themselves, what are some perhaps free offers or paid offers, or how can people come into your world? And we'll start with Leola.
Well, we're offering a beautiful free offer through Fearless Presence of Healing the Priestess Wound, which is a webinar, and there's a little bit of writing about my interpretation of the Tantric Rose Priestess, which is the priestess path that I've uncovered, which comes through the Grail lineage and the lineage of Mary Magdalene and Isis. And then I offer like a subscription thing. I think it's, if you really just want to go deep dive into my body of work, I actually offer a 9-month priestess training. And it, just right now I'm offering it super, super cheap, because I'm about, as a self-led journey. And then people just pay a little every month, and they get incredible material every single day. So 1 week you have meditations to do, and they change every week. So you get this you go on this beautiful journey, and I think it takes 9 months to actually rebirth yourself and your soul. So that's the most comprehensive thing that I offer. But there's also short courses. I've got Embodying Erotic Divinity, which is a short course. It's just a much shorter commitment, and it goes through the 6 erotic archetypes of the divine feminine. And in that, women can access the different ways, because the sexual energy, we spoke about the Kundalini, has very subtle nuances. And, you know, we can know it as the Divine Mother. We can know it as Eros, as Aphrodite, as the soft fluid. We can know it as the fire of Kali. We can know it as the sweetness of the heart, devotional heart. And there's different goddess energies and different ways. Like in the ancient way of viewing Shakti, she was at least 4 different rivers. There were 4 different rivers. So we embody that, and we experience the inner union through dance, movement, breath, sound, because these are the keys of Tantra, is to get into the body, breathe, dance, sound. So when we want to activate sovereignly without a partner, we need to really generate that energy a lot. So I found dance to be the most powerful way to do that. So there's that. But yeah, on my website, leolaantara.com, there's always been very prolific, and I've created over 16 different online courses. But I would say top of the range, priestess training, then I'd go Kundalini Dance, Chakra Alchemy, or the Embodying Erotic Divinity. I think they're the best. And if you need sexual healing, then go into my sexual healing course, because then I work with healing the genitals, doing meditation with the clitoris, meditation with the cervix, meditation for the G-spot, to de-armor if you're feeling numb. And I do the sexual healing course. So I know that's a lot, but that's me.
Yeah, you have been around for such a long time or so.
There's a lot there.
Of work, yes. Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. Rachel, if people want to get in touch with you and really resonate with your take, how can they do that? How can people work with you?
Yeah, so I do, as I was sharing, like one-on-one sessions. So if there's anything around any trauma or sexual shame, or even wanting to connect back to your life force if you're feeling disconnected, I love my one-on-one sessions. I feel like it's such a beautiful space to really go deep and allow people to trust and open up. So I do lots of one-on-one journey. I teach a lot of tantra massage as well for couples, which is like a super super beautiful, and you can learn through so much through tantra massage and touch and deep presence. Essentially, I see it as like a form, well, it is like a form of deep meditation. I also do self-pleasure circles for women and mixed gender as well, so men and women. And I also do temple nights as well every few months. And on my website, there's a free masterclass as well that you can check out.
Beautiful. Yeah. And so your one-on-one, your main work is Central Coast and Sydney, is that right?
Yeah, Central Coast and Sydney, yes. Mm. Yes.
Excellent. Yeah, so I'll put your website into both of your websites into the show notes so that people can get in touch with you. So I want to thank you again for being here, for sharing your wisdom. And yeah, we could have talked for a lot longer, but this is why we might have to do another one sometime. So thank you so much for...
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fun conversation. Thank you both.
Thank you. Thank you, Leola. Thank you, Crystal.
If you want to become a best-selling author for the very first time, or invest in giving your visibility a boost, then let's connect. And if you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to wherever you listen to this podcast. Leave a review and take a screenshot to share on your social media. Show notes for this podcast, including all the links and gifts mentioned in today's episode, are available at crystalhill.com/podcast. I'll see you next time.